Matthew chapter 9 this morning, and like I say, we're going to take the message this morning. The words of that song kind of struck a chord in my heart, and I believe this song was written with these verses in mind, and this song also could have been written from Luke 15, verse 21, 23, same thing. I think those verses probably were an inspiration to that songwriter when he wrote this great song. In Matthew 9, verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes," talking about Jesus, "but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And then Luke 15, verse 23 and 24. It's the parable of the great supper, but I want to use just two verses. "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Father, we have come to this service where we're going to be taking up the offering in just a little bit. We've already stated that everything starting this past Wednesday and even before has been devoted to the theme and the thought of missions. And Father, today this will be the last message that these folks will hear before they fill out their commitment cards. And God, I learned a long time ago, I'm not depending on this message. I'm depending on you. You'll touch their hearts, and I believe these people will be obedient as they have in the past. But God, your word will reach and touch and convict. And I pray you'll bless it. You wrote this book. It's yours. You know what we need. And we extend it into your hands today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said, I put the words to the song, if you can see it, up on the screen. I've never done this. I've heard preachers do it before, but I never felt like I felt comfortable doing it. But this song has such this particular song has such a message in it. The whole song, you know, I was talking to Brother Garner this week, and maybe Brother McKinley too, that we go to churches after church, and sometimes they sing songs that we're not used to hearing, you know, maybe a little bit more modern. Some of them are all right. They lift the Lord Jesus, and they got great words from the Bible in them, and they touch my heart. And then some of them are just so repetitive and so useless that I just can't hardly sit there and listen. It's not that I'm against songs. I love music. But I want something that's going to give a message. That's going to lift the Lord and touch people's heart. And you that have my CDs know that every song that I have on there, if it doesn't do that, I've made a bad error. And I work hard to not do that. But I want you to notice that this song that I just got through singing and back in Matthew chapter number 9. This song begins with the harvest. I mean, simply as we look around us, all the fields are white. I mean, the song, as the Word of God, as Jesus said in Matthew 9 to the early church, He said, "Look at this harvest. Just look at it." That's the challenge. The challenge is we need to look. What he's saying, in essence, is open your spiritual eyes. You know, we use our physical eyes and we see all kinds of things, and But we need to open our spiritual eyes and look at the harvest. Jesus in John chapter 4, you know, the woman at the well, and the disciples had gone to get some food, groceries to eat, and I'm sure on the way they passed this woman, and she'd go into the well to get water, and the Samaritan woman, and Jesus began to talk to her about the water of life, and she dropped her water pot and took off and went to the town and told all the men, "Come see a man that told me all things that I've ever done. Is not this the Christ?" And she gathered all these men, and they're coming down the road towards where Jesus is. And the disciples are saying, "Lord, why don't you eat this bread and stuff we got you here?" And he looked at them and he said, "Men, I have meat to eat that you know not of." You know, that word meat means missions. Amen. That's why Malachi 3 says, "You're to give that there may be meat in mine house." That's talking about souls. Amen. Every single thing you do in this church, from the carpet on the floor to the padding on the pew, is not for Christians.
That's right.
It's for the lost. We want the lights on so somebody come here unsaved and see the Word of God and get saved.
Amen.
If you're a Christian, you ought to be willing to sit on the rock, on the pavement out there and serve God. Amen. John 4, Jesus said, "Don't tell me there's 4 months and then cometh the harvest." He said, "I say unto you, just lift up your eyes and look."
Yeah, right.
That's why I believe a missionary's presentation. We talked about this week. And I understand a lot of young missionaries make this mistake. And I've seen some veterans, I don't call it a mistake, that's the wrong word. But they spend their whole presentation showing us a bunch of meat hanging off hooks and beautiful waterfalls. And I enjoy all that. But I want to see faces. I want to see people. I think about Brother Reasoner's, I'm not picking him out personally, but first slide he had up was some little old Russian kids. And I mean, immediately got my attention, because that's what I'm about and that's what you ought to be about. Amen. It's about the harvest, and the harvest is soul. And so when a missionary presents his presentation, that's why Brother McKinley said he feels for you that didn't get to see him. Because you missed the harvest this week. You missed all the faces that we saw in Canada. You missed all the faces of those people in Russia. You missed all the faces of those in Mexico. That's the harvest, and Jesus is challenging us just like this song. He said, just look around you. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to go very far to find somebody unsaved. Amen?
Amen.
You'd be surprised the response you might get if you just ask people,
yeah,
do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And I thank God when missionaries let us see the faces of the people. They're not going to that country because of the scenery. They're not going there because it's the economy. They're going there because the Lord has seen a harvest there.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered how a missionary knows which country to go to? You know, I mean, how do you know you're supposed to go to Ireland or like Gene? Or how do you know you go to Mexico like Brother Garner, or Canada or Russia? I mean, what? Why would God lay that country on their heart? When there's countries all over the world, why that one? I think I know the answer. I may not, but I think I do. You see, God knows all things, and He knows there's some people in Canada right now waiting on y'all.
Amen.
Now, you may not know who they are, but God does. And so God said, I want to send this couple to meet those people so they can get saved and get a church going. I mean, God's in charge of this whole thing. This is not some random, pandem thing. God's in control of it. But all He wants us to do is get your spiritual eyes open and look around you. The harvest is ready right now. There's nothing holding Jesus from coming back except He's not willing that any should perish. That's it. There's no prophecy has to be fulfilled. The harvest is ready right now. Not only do you look at the harvest, but I read his song. And secondly, I think we need to pay attention to the hour. He says, Christians, we need to get busy. But there's an urgent task. You like that word, urgent? an urgent task awaiting you. I read the other night in the book of Acts where that vision came to Paul, and the Bible said he immediately endeavored to go to Macedonia. There's an urgency about missions that you won't find anywhere else. Can you imagine a farmer? He's got out there, plowed the field, planted the seeds. The sun has shone at the right time. Their God has caused the rain to fall at the right time. The harvest has come up. It is ripe. It is ready. And the farmer's standing with his hands in his pocket just looking at it. Well, sure enough, there it is. You say, "Brother Mike, that sounds silly." Well, of course it does. Because the problem is, when that harvest is ready, you've got to get out there and get it. I read several verses yesterday in Proverbs. I don't know that we need to go to all of them, but it just says simply that if you're going to be slothful, if you're going to be a sluggard, that means somebody just going to put it off. I've had people say to me, "Well, I may fill this cart out later, but I'm just right now I'm not just going to put it off." You know what they're doing? They haven't realized the hour we're living in. I mean, if you the sluggard said, "I'm not going to go out and reap the harvest because this it's just the wind's blowing. It's just not right. Everything's not perfect." You know what the Bible says about that guy? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he will beg in the harvest because he has nothing. Folks, listen. This song reminds me that so swiftly comes the night. Work, for the night is coming, and work shall be no more. Christians, there's an urgent task awaiting us. And we're at that point right now this morning. What you do today, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you make an emotional decision. I want you to make a decision based upon God's will for your life. But I want you to know that this is urgent. You may never have another missions conference. Think about it. This may be the last one you ever have. If you knew that, you would grasp the urgency of it. I mean, I was just thinking, Brother McKinley, as he was talking up here, introducing me, and he said, "You know, Brother Martin's been my friend since Socorro." And I'm going to tell you right now, when I think about that, it just seems like yesterday, Brother Dennis. And I know it does to you because time is just absolutely out of control. It's so going so fast, and if we don't grab it while we can, we're going to miss it. So we've got to grab that thought, that hour that's out there before us. Thirdly, this song tells us not to hesitate. Don't hesitate. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in enough missions conferences to know the devil's present. He may skip a lot of church services, but he shows up on mission conference day, I'll guarantee you. And he will tell you things that can cause you to have thoughts and fears and doubts. But I want you to know the truth of the matter is, this is not a time to hesitate. This is not a time. The song says, Christians, now we got to get busy. There's a work to do. I mean, it's right here in front of us. Day's almost done. Lo seeks the sun. Go without delay. That's what I'm talking about. Did you know that every day, the Lows and the Reasoners, now Brother Garner's a veteran mission, I'm going to leave him out on this right now, but every single day they stay here in the States raising support. People are dying and going to hell in Canada. I mean, that's just the way it is. Every single day they're in the States raising support. There are people in Russia dying and going to hell. Same thing's happening in Mexico too. All over the world. Now I'm going to make a statement. I don't know if I'd make it in every church. But I know Brother McKinley. I guess a pastor can do as what he pleases, and I don't want to be mean against preachers. I love them. I'm around preachers more than I'm around anybody except my wife. But these pastors sometimes tell these young missionaries, "Well, we'll let you know." We'll let you know. They just, and I'm talking about right after the conference, they've had an increase. We'll let you know. We don't have time for that nonsense. If God has given you the increase, then take them on. If they're scriptural, get them on the field. We can't take 3-4 years to get these young men, young women on the fields anymore. We don't have time for such nonsense. We have to go, and we have to go without delay. Don't let the politics and the economics dictate your faith today. You must not hesitate. To give now, you need to do it as God leads you now. I got news for you. God knows tomorrow. I may not know tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And if God tells me to give an amount to missions, I can trust Him. He knows what's going to happen. Sometimes we think God doesn't know what He's doing. Well, way to go, Monty. Pop off and then have to tell something on yourself, you doofus. Talking to myself, excuse me. When I travel by myself, I did a whole bunch of that. Amen. It's good to have somebody to talk to now. But sometimes I'll say something so dumb like that. I remember one time in a conference, you've heard me say this, it was about my home church years ago. I had to fill out 3 cards before I got it right. I was so embarrassed. I filled one out Sunday morning, and then they gave some testimonies, and God said, "You tightwad, you." So I said, "Could I have another card?" And my pastor said, give our speaker another card. And so I put some more down. And they had the banquet that night. And one of the college kids got up and just crying. Talking about how they was working 2 jobs trying to get through college. But God laid on their heart to give $15 a week. And God said, "You tightwad." And I said, "Could I have another card?" And I'll never forget, Letty was ready to get on the table. The pastor said, "Ushers, just give him a handful." You say, "Brother Martin, how embarrassing that must be." I want to tell you, I'd rather be embarrassed and do God's will. You say, "Why were you so confused?" I don't have a clue. But I wanted to get it right. I don't care if everybody was laughing. I don't care if they thought I didn't have any wisdom. God just kept telling me to up it, up it, up it. I just kept on. I was grateful after the 3rd card, He quit. Said, "Finally." You see, we don't have time for this hesitation. Right. Fourthly, as I look at this song and the chorus, I can't help but see the horror. Yeah. If we don't do it. Souls are crying. Men are dying. And I'm going to ask you a question. And I know the answer. Do you really, and I mean without a doubt, believe there is a literal hell that is a lake of fire that burneth fire and brimstone, and that lost souls go there and they burn forever? Now everybody in this building would say yes, including me. But do we act like we believe it? Do we give like we believe it? Several years ago, God gave me a glimpse of hell that made me a mission speaker, I believe. At that time, I only did revivals. That's all I did. God took my ministry and turned it completely upside down. I was pastoring Graham, Texas, and the church was small. We took it with 12 members. And so what I would do, I had 2 or 3 jobs I worked during the week. And then I didn't know about fellowships or support. Nobody ever told me that. So I was working 3 jobs and mowing yards and hauling, laying carpet and driving a gravel truck and whatever. And then I was trying to get this church going. So I was knocking doors. Don't take this as boastful. I mean, I was desperate. When I'd get off work, I'd go home, get tie on, and I'd hit the doors. Right down. I'd just go down the streets knocking. And every Sunday, right after church, we'd go home and eat lunch, and I'd go back and knock doors. And one Sunday, I'd had some rough week. I'd had so many doors slammed in my face. I'd been cussed out so many times and told to get off the door, get off our porch, get off my property. And I just When I got through with lunch, I just went and sat down in my recliner, and the lady said something like, "Well, honey, aren't you going down to the church, and you and Brother Henson are going visiting?" I said, "No." Kind of abrupt. "No, I'm not." She said, "What?" And I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit here and watch the Dallas Cowboys." That was back when Landry was in charge and they were winning and had good people. "I'm going to watch the Dallas Cowboys like all the rest of these Christians. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus. I'm tired of having doors slammed in my face." She just, when I get like that, she just went in the other room. I was sitting there, grumped up, puffed up, drinking my tea, and all of a sudden, John Madden, one of those guys, said something, and they threw the camera up into the stands. And somebody had come to that football game in a costume. You know how they do. It was a complete costume. And back then, they allowed them to smoke in the old Texas Stadium. And someone threw a cigarette down, and that man's costume, or woman, I don't know, to this day, caught on fire immediately. I mean, a solid flame of fire. And the camera went up to him, and this person, whoever it was just all you could see was flames. And people were chasing this person up the steps, trying to knock him down. And God said to me, "Monty, while you sit here mully-grubbing and complaining, there are people like that person who nobody's going to put out. Nobody's chasing to put them out. Nobody's going to take them to the burn center to fix them. They're going to burn forever." I got out of my recliner and I told my wife, "I'll see you at church." And from that day on, I've tried to keep that picture in my mind that hell is real. It's a horror. You can't, and I can't, even though we know Luke 16 and Jesus kind of opens a picture there, we can't imagine the horror of hell. Revelation 13 says that the smoke of their torment ascends up, and God emphasized this. He said the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, it's a horror. You say, "Well, Brother Monty, what can I do?" But we got, I'll tell you what we can do about it. You can keep doing what you're doing. Trust in God and sending missionaries and winning souls in this city. The song says men are dying and souls are crying. Lastly, this song, like Matthew 9:38, says we need help. Go out and win. Go and find them. Help us to win them. Won't you lead them to the cross? One Christian can't do it all, as Brother McKinley said, but one church can't do it all. But if we could all just get centered on one thing, we can make a difference. If every independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in this nation, and not just this nation, but in all nations where there's independent phone, if we could all just get centered on that one thing, we can make a difference, a major difference. The song says, and Jesus says, we have to go and find them. 9 times out of 10, folks, the lost aren't just going to walk up to you and say, "I want to be saved." You got to go out. You got to make the first move. I taught a soul winning. I have a little one-day soul winning seminar thing I do in some churches, especially with young pastors that need help in that area. And I'll go in and I've got presentations and stuff and teach people how to win souls. And this was a cousin of mine's church, and he runs about 100 people, and 45 people showed up to that thing on a Wednesday night. I was really pleased with that. And I asked how many, and I said, "I'm not asking to embarrass you, because the reason you're here is to learn how to win souls. So that tells me you don't know how yet, and you want to learn. So don't take this wrong. How many of you have ever won a soul at all, personally?" And only 2 hands went up, the pastor and the associate. And so I began to teach them, and I got got some, you know, anyway, I went through the whole deal, and one of my cousins, she was there, but her husband wasn't there. And she got excited, and she got home, and he got home from work, and she said, "Okay, we're going to learn. I'm fishing to teach you how to win souls." He said, "Honey, I'm tired. I don't care." She said, "Monty just told us how to do it, and we got to practice." So she set him in a chair, and she got in a chair, and she said, "All right, I'm going to win you first." And I mean, she whipped it through him. Boy, she put Romans Road on him and laid the hammer down. Amen. "You bow your head." She said, "Now you going to do it for me." And I don't know how long they did it, but she said they just kept going until he could get it. And the very next day, I got a call. That man had been working with a man. He's on a ranch. He's a foreman on a ranch. This guy is. He'd been working with a man. They'd been in the same pickup for 10 years riding together. And never had this Christian talked to him about Jesus. That was on Wednesday night. Thursday that he looked over at that friend he'd been in a pickup with for 10 years and said, "I'm going to pull off the side here for a minute and I'm going to tell you about Jesus." Amen. And he won his first soul to Jesus Christ. You say, "What do you mean?" Go out and find them. Help us to win them. These missionaries, they're going to win souls. If they don't, they'll answer. They're going to win souls. And those souls go to your account. I mean that. All of these mission letters, look around. All the souls that they report, including Monty Martin, they go to your account. But you cannot use that as an excuse to not win souls yourself. You see, missionaries are our partners, not our excuse.
Right.
Amen? We got to go out and find them and help us to win them. And then lead them to the cross. The song is "Win the Lost at Any Cost." Aren't you glad the Heavenly Father did not count the cost when He gave His only begotten Son? I know that the money you give to missions is a sacrifice. But the sacrifice you're making is not a loss. It's not like the lottery where you're just giving money away. The rewards are on the other side, and I can't wait. You may ask, "Brother Monty, why do I have to do it this year? It's going to be a tough year." Well, the cults aren't going to do it. Are you listening? They're in every country nearly. They're not going to lead anybody to the cross. They're going to lead them to their church. The false prophets out there aren't going to lead them to the cross. They're going to lead them to the baptistry. Lead them to the Virgin Mary. Only Christians like you and others like you are going to lead people to where they need to go.
Amen.
And that's the cross.
Amen.
You know why? And I'm through. Won't you lead them to the cross? You know why you can do that? Because you personally have been to the cross. So you know how to get there.
Right.
Amen? Somebody's never been there, they don't know how to get there, but you do. Souls are crying, men are dying. What can I do? You can ask God and He'll tell you. Let's stand with our heads bowed. This Sunday morning I'm going to take just a little longer if you don't mind. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed except mine, the pastor. I want to ask you very quickly, if you know without a doubt that you're saved. Now wait a minute, listen, before you raise your hand, hear me out. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And without a doubt, if you were to die right now, I wouldn't want that to happen. But it has happened in churches. If your heart stopped beating, boom. Are you positive you'd go to heaven? If you are, would you lift your hand in testimony? Mine's up. Don't raise it unless you're sure. Thank you, and put them down.